Welcome to the No Direction Podcast, PaizoCon 2017 seminar coverage. Remember, we con when you can't.
Hi, so everyone's in here for Gruelmaking 101.
Yay!
Oh, wait. Welcome to Cartoons Made Me a Better GM.
Yay!
Where we talk about generally GMing philosophy through the lens of classic Saturday morning television. And, I mean, we're all giant cartoon nerds family. Here.
What? Never.
We've got Mark. Sorry.
Yeah, Mark Moreland. I am a developer. I've been with Paizo for about 7 years. I have worked on Pathfinder Society organized play and campaign settings, and for the last few years have been spearheading the back matter of Pathfinder Adventure Pathfinders.
What's your favorite cartoon, Mark?
Favorite cartoon? It's hard, but I think the one that has probably influenced my GMing the most is Pirates of Darkwater.
That was an awesome one.
So I'm Amanda Hammond-Coates. I am the development coordinator at Paizo, and I've been at Paizo for about 2 years and was a freelance writer for about 3 years prior to that. For my favorite cartoon, right now I want to say Ren and Stimpy. I definitely skew toward the weird side of stuff.
Hi, I'm Crystal Frazier. I'm the Adventure Path developer at Paizo. I've been with the company about 8 years now. Whew. And favorite cartoon. This is hard because cartoons were literally my major in college. I'm going to go with a very obscure Saturday morning cartoon from the 90s called Project GKR.
Crystal showed me that just like not even a year ago. It's great.
Yeah, it is. It is Billy West as the voice of a genetic experiment in a dystopian cyberpunk future where there are talking dinosaurs and cyborg street samurai, and he is literally just a cartoon character trying to survive.
Well, there goes my Kickstarter custom setting. I thought it was all original.
No,
nothing is.
Well, now you can just paint the name on there.
Oh, okay.
Steal the right, license good. And
yeah.
Professionals.
See, it's not appropriation if you take it from the last 20 years.
Oh.
Inspiration, it's an homage.
Just remember the great Tom Leo.
Yeah,
it's a redo.
Yeah, then it's a reimagining.
It's a reboot. Right.
Yeah.
So, I think we are, like, the big thrust here is that, especially, well, there's a lot of good storytelling in animated series that, just by virtue of the medium, has to simplify and streamline the storytelling process. You've got some great animation in the last 10 years, but when TV shows were more episodic, you had to specifically constrain your story to a hook and your action and your resolution all inside of 22 minutes.
And yeah, people weren't binge watching. You know, it was like, as a kid, if you wanted to watch Masters of the Universe, or G.I. Joe, or Transformers, or whatever. Strawberry Shortcake, whatever you watched.
Jumping holograms.
Yeah. You know, it's like, you're a kid, and so chances are you're missing episodes because, you know, you got picked up late from school, or whatever. Definitely. You know, and so so the episodes had to be self-contained and telling serialized long-form stories was much rarer. And while it would happen, you would have characters that would come and go, it was in many ways more like a lot of RPG sessions in the sense that, sure, you might be telling an ongoing story, but really, you need to make that session good, have a beginning, middle, and end. Or
you're
trying to.
Yeah, or an approximation thereof.
Right? Yeah. And, you know, for me, I think the reason that cartoons have been a specific influence is that they're designed for kids, and kids are super creative.
Kids are willing to buy in more readily than adults.
Yes, yeah.
That said, you have to work harder to keep their attention.
Yeah.
Just like players.
Just like players.
Just like players, yeah. And so because it's designed for kids, there's a certain level of imagination that's just baked in, that even something that's a relatively serious topic, you know, in the sense of, like, dinosaurs, those were real, you know? You could easily make a episodic television show about dinosaurs. That was really boring. But because
what
it's a cartoon.
If they had a spaceship and fought evil dinosaurs?
Or what if they were, you know, equipped with mechanized weaponry and people rode them and, you know.
Some sort of riding dinos series?
Rhino-dinies. Rhino-dinies.
Well, trying to get a title back.
That was great.
Yeah. Are we allowed to refer to specific trademarks?
I don't see why not.
Yeah, okay.
I don't mean,
Dino Riders.
Dino Riders.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
You
and,
know.
Yeah, it's a...
And had cool toys that you could use at the table.
I couldn't afford any of them when I was a kid.
No.
They were expensive.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and, I mean, Jason the Wheeled Warriors is a great example to... I want to dispense with the notion that by saying cartoons make you a better GM, that you have to kiddify and make everything gummy bears. Although gummy bears has some great adventure.
Yes, right? Yes.
But you can do very gritty, very high action. I mean, you just have to basically translate the same concept of here's how you deliver your adventure hook in a punch, and here's how you drop some adversaries in the way, and here's how you have Beast Man thrown into the mud, and then...
He likes it there.
He does.
He must at this point.
Yes.
He-Man!
I think what's a takeaway...
That's my one He-Man villain impression you'll get this show.
What, no Skeletor?
Amanda does the better Skeletor. I don't know. Let's find out.
Probably not.
Take that, He-Man!
Yeah, there you go.
There you go, Crystal.
I met Alan Oppenheimer last year.
It was
my trip.
Did you get a photo?
I did not.
No.
Yeah. He was eating. I didn't want to bother.
That's fair.
Was he like, damn you, pizza?
And he's like, curse
you
already
in my mouth! and I think most of us in this room are of a similar enough age that the cartoons that we were watching growing up were... They weren't Looney Tunes. I mean, some of them were dealing with some pretty serious stuff. I mean, in retrospect, looking back, like, I watched G.I. Joe every day. And, like, it's watching an army show. I mean, these are soldiers. Sure, they shoot lasers that wouldn't really hurt you in real life. But, you know, they're blowing things up and, you know, they have tanks and...
People get hurt. Like
they always have a parachute.
There are episodes where there are consequences to people getting injured.
Yes, yeah, you know, or you're dealing with people who are like sword fighting. Like, sure, that's pretty ubiquitous in culture, but when I look back on, like, I was watching this stuff when I was 3 or 4, like, as an adult, I don't know if I would let a 3-year-old watch the stuff that I watch, but it certainly gave me... a certain worldview that lends itself to the types of stories that you tell in an RPG of conflicts of good and evil and of people being sort of out of their realm and overcoming those odds. Yeah.
There
anyway.
Are a lot of tropes and just sort of archetypical storylines and experiences that happen in cartoons that you see over and over and over for a reason, because they're very interesting and they're very compelling, and, you know, they have a human element to them. So the cartoon might be, in a post-apocalyptic steampunk world in space or something, but still those key elements are there that keep the kids watching and coming back, and that's really useful to just pull that stuff conceptually out and to have, you know, that baseline of understanding of what makes a good story, what makes pacing work within a short period of time? What's a compelling type of threat? What's a compelling type of hero? And having that understanding, watching something like G.I. Joe from the age of 3 is just not something that you can learn overnight.
To be fair, I watched G.I. Joe later. I was watching He-Man.
Oh, He-Man. Okay. Gotcha.
There were morals.
Well, and that's, yeah, the morals, I think, is another important thing. I mean, while you can easily run an RPG that is just people going room to room and fighting whatever monster happens to be behind the door.
And I think that's where we all got started, let's be honest.
Yeah, those are certainly the easiest to run. The most compelling stories are ones where the players are asked to, or forced to, make moral choices.
And
you know,
then, especially when they see the consequences.
Yes, yeah. You know, it's that ability to, you know, do we save person A or person B in chapter one, and then in chapter four, you find out what happened because you chose the way you did, both the good and the bad. But, like, the number of kids shows that overtly say in the last, like, 30 seconds, like, did you notice such and such in this episode? Well, in your life, you have to make choices, too. You know, like, it's the, you know, and now we know, and knowing is half the battle. It's the, you know, Orko showing up at the end and, you know, telling you why it was important that He-Man, you know, didn't kill Skeletor. So just kill him already, okay? He's gonna show up again.
He's
just get rid of him.
You gotta find his.
He's got diplomatic immunity.
Yeah.
I spend an inordinate amount of time figuring out plausible explanations for why cartoon universes exist.
Oh, do you? Tell them your alternate theory on gummy bears.
We are not getting into my alternate theory on gummy bears. If somebody wants to hear my gummy bears theory, we can do it over a drink.
Gummy
That's
bears
true.
Is pretty dark.
Well, what will you be drinking, though?
Gummy berry juice?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's an apple.
I'm not allowed to drink the gummy berry juice anymore.
Oh, listen, I'm going to lock it out.
But no, I mean, ultimately, if you're strained for ideas as a GM, or even as a writer, because let's face it, cartoon writers steal from each other all the time, nothing quite helps for me, at least, like sitting down with DuckTales or Gummy Bears or old episodes of Ninja Turtles, I assume G.I. Joe. Do they have original plots in G.I. Joe?
No, they're all the same one over and over.
But yeah. Watch, sit down for an hour, watch three episodes, because they're only 20 minutes long each.
Yeah.
And you're going to be, well, if you remember, if you watch these as a kid, you're going to hit at least two episodes where you're like, I don't remember this at all.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going to see at least one plot hook where, like, where you think, oh, that's a pretty good idea. That would make a fun adventure. Like, in Gummy Bears, there's an episode where Tummy Gummy discovers that the ancient gummies used to control the ogres using their religion. Like, he finds an ancient gummy machine that is a fake stone head oracle that delivered prophecies and religious decrees to the ogres, and he uses it to make the ogres bring him food.
Right, which is like, also a Star Trek episode. I mean, like, these things, you know, it's a Doctor Who episode. Like, it's not just cartoons. I mean, a lot of episodic television tells the same basic stories. And, you know, sure, your players might say, I saw this episode, but the thing that makes these work across all the different things is that in one world, it's the gummy bears who are discovering this, and in another, it's He-Man, and in another, it's Captain Kirk, and in another, it's, you know, it's the Doctor, you know.
Yeah, the setup isn't what's compelling.
It's the characters and what they do in relation to it.
Yeah.
It's also, if you look, when there were writer strikes, like in the 70s, there was a big writer strike, and a lot of big authors, including Harlan Ellison, wrote for Land of the Lost. Uh-huh. And
Land of the Lost is so amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And but not a cartoon, off topic.
It's basically a cartoon.
It's a cartoon.
I think we can I think we can grant honorary cartoon status to anything from Sid Morgencroft.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. H.R. Puzzle stuff. Oh, that's racist.
Yeah. And so, you know, so I think that what Crystal says is definitely true, that watching the things that inspired you as a kid can give you so much inspiration as an adult, both because in our day-to-day lives, including those of us who make up things about elves and dragons for a living,
mm-hmm.
you get into the flow of paying your bills and, you know, of not doing that imaginative stuff. I mean, we're always complaining about deadlines. You know, so even if it's your job to be creative,
oh, man,
going back and reliving that sense of wonder of, like, what? He-Man has, like, a flying hover.
Oh, the jet ski?
Basically.
Oh my God,
it was
all about?
Yeah, it was a flying Segway. Like, awesome! And
no, the thing that got me, if we because we just watched it or watched like 3 episodes of He-Man like 6 months ago. The attack track was a character.
Yes,
yeah,
he has
a voice. Talked and had
a
voice.
And his wheels make no sense at all. They're just like flopping around. I'm like, that's not, how is that efficient? It doesn't, what?
So what we're saying is give Valoros a sassy talking tech. Boom, novel.
Yeah, Sela.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just sassy talking tech, yeah.
We talk a lot about retro cartoons up here because that's what a lot of us experienced when we were younger, but I don't think it's limited to that as well. Like, there was a little bit of maybe a dry period from, like, maybe not, you know?
Late 90s, early 2000s
had some amazing stuff. That's when you got Lloyd in Space, Teacher's Pet, Pepper Ann, Recess.
Recess was great.
Recess was
good. But there's a lot of stuff.
Rugrats was running a little dry at that.
I
mean, we're not even touching on anime. I mean, once you get into
that's
like
anime. That's American,
but it's anime.
No, it's not.
No,
it's it takes some inspiration from. Okay, this is
technically it's Canadian.
All right, don't make me get my dissertation.
She will school you, Mark.
Yes,
that's it.
Hey,
yeah,
free education. I'll
watch
take
4 episodes of Samurai Jack and tell me you don't have an idea for an adventure.
Yeah,
but there's all sorts of stuff that is in that old sort of retro episodic style. Like Rick and Morty is one that's coming to mind as
Adventure Time.
Adventure Time comes into that. There's a lot of other.
I mean, some of those are also highly influenced by drugs.
But
when I watch episodes of some stuff from the 80s, I'm pretty sure it was too.
Yeah.
You know, the D&D cartoon was totally fueled by drugs.
Oh, man.
You know, the history of Gary Gygax and his foibles in the 80s.
That series is so different watching it as an adult because you realize Eric the Cavalier is the only sensible person in the group. It's like, no, let's not do this, guys. Dungeon Masters lied to us at every point. It's like, no, we're doing it, Eric. Stop being a douche. It's like, Dungeon Master lied to us. Who could have foreseen this?
Yeah. Or that they're all dead. Yeah. Now in some purgatory.
No, that's Lost.
If you go back and watch the original D&D cartoon, it hits you at some point that, no, they're all dead.
Oh, well, they are PCs, so they are probably dead.
And if you read
the roller coaster broke down.
Yeah, they all died on the roller coaster, and this is their version of hell. I like it.
I really want to write it. Let's reboot this.
Well, if you read the script for the unfinished,
I've been trying
to
watch the
final
radio
episode.
Play they produced.
Oh, yeah.
With the original voice cast.
Yeah. Where you learn, it's a prison.
Yeah. So you know, speaking of the tropes that appear in all these different shows, one thing that I found that really helps me is to watch a show that's in a different genre than what I'm writing. You know, as a primarily working on Pathfinder, you know, watching a fantasy show, it can be very easy to feel like the inspiration is too close to what I'm trying to do. You know, if I'm writing an adventure about, you know, a guy who wields a sword, then doing He-Man may not be the best idea because I'm going to feel like I'm aping it too much. Whereas if I watch Captain Simian and the Space Monkeys, there's
my favorite show.
You had a chance to name your favorite show earlier, and you picked something
Project
no one's ever
Geeker.
Heard of.
Everybody loves Project Geeker. Who has heard of it?
I do. That's because you showed it to me.
Right. So, but I can watch.
This is
you know,
I got canceled.
Yeah. You know, Bucky O'Hara and the Space Pirates, Space Rangers,
what?
Space Bucky O'Hara and Rangers.
Bucky O'Hara and the Toad Force.
What?
And Captain Simian and the Space Monkeys. They're
Toad Wars?
Yes.
That wasn't the name of the show.
Bucky O'Hare and the Toad Wars. That was the full name of the show.
What?
Is that the one with the green rabbit?
The green bunny rabbit.
Yes.
And the, like, space cat psychic who is responsible for, like, 80% of our generation's furries.
I don't know. I think there were bigger culprits than that, but, you know.
Oh,
My Little Pony.
The Cadillac Cats.
Cadillac Cats.
Heathcliff for me, man.
Oh, yeah.
The way he stripped that fish to the bone, man. So anyway, genre swap. You know, because you can get something from Star Trek that's a story that obviously you're not going to tell an adventure in Galarian about people traveling to the stars, but you could easily take the moral conundrum, or you could take the...
What does that say?
That's the name of one episode. That wasn't the name of the show.
Anybody want to read that? Oh. Anybody read that?
And the Toad Wars.
And the Toad Wars.
Thank you.
You just
right, let the out. Record show!
Maybe that was second season.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, so, you know, it's easier to take the nuggets that work universally from something that's not just...
You weren't allowed to use the word nugget anymore.
I've already talked about Heathcliff eating fish, so all rules are off.
No, but Mark makes a really good point about genre swapping. And another aspect of it is that you don't know what you're going to want to be into a year from now, or 2 years from now, or 5 years from now, notwithstanding what he's thinking over there.
What? I'm just still repeating in my head you saying Mark has a good point.
It's important. That's
I can make it my ringtone and everything.
No, why did you tell me to get me on this panel? It's okay.
I didn't put you on this panel. Sarah Marie put you on this panel.
That's true.
What did you do to piss Sarah Marie off to stick you in between Mark and I?
I don't know.
But yeah, if you're writing a fantasy novel, if you're writing a fantasy adventure, watch an episode of Star Trek the Animated Series, mm-hmm. or Captain Simian and
which
the Space
were almost
Monkeys.
All written by Alan Dean Foster.
Yes.
So, you know, it goes back to that idea of, like, you can have people who have very good fantasy and sci-fi pedigrees writing for cartoons or, you know, episodic TV. Like,
yeah,
you know, the Beauty and the Beast show from the 90s with Linda Hamilton and Ron Perlman.
Yeah.
Like, George R.R. Martin was an executive producer of that show, and you can see it in this. You can see what became Game of Thrones, or what became Wild Cards, in the stuff he was doing back then. Mm-hmm. Not a cartoon, sorry.
Mark.
Technically speaking.
Okay, we can talk about... What about Lady Lovely Lux? Was George R.R. Martin a producer on that?
Yes, Crystal.
Okay.
But you're laying foundations a lot of times, right, that you don't even know about, because you might be working on running a Pathfinder game, and, you know, you're watching Star Trek, or you're watching other different genres for inspiration, and then you're sort of banking that information so that when you run, say you run like, say you run a Starfinder game in the future, you can pull upon that experience. Say you're running, you know, something, a Dark Ages game, or, you know,
or a horror game,
yeah, like a Call of Cthulhu
game, or a
Dread game, a modern game.
Yeah, if you're running Starfinder, your players just go off into left field and, like, I have no idea what they're doing. But I remember this one episode of Tailspin.
Yeah, and you're like, all right, that's what we're going to do. And then just go from there. And it can help you from being super
and
lost when that happens.
I assume most people in the room have seen the new Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
Basically a cartoon.
Okay, when you do, ask yourself what certain scenes in it have in common with Tailspin.
Everything.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is basically a long, or a protracted episode of Tailspin.
Yes.
It's all owned by Disney.
Yeah, and...
That's true.
It all makes sense.
Yes.
But even
Luke is Rey's father.
The Illuminati.
Click. Our kid Cloud Kicker grew up
to become Luke Skywalker.
Okay, that works too. I was going to say Darth Vader.
We don't know that Luke won't eventually become Darth Vader Jr.
So. Besides stealing clocks.
This is what happens in our queue.
Oh my
all
god.
The time.
Oh, yeah.
And then the editors have to come around and say, some of us are trying to get editing done.
Inside voices, please.
Inside voices, please. Yeah, we get
and
that
you're
one.
Supposed to be responsible
all
for
it. I know, I'm terrible.
Yeah, you've been on the job for 3 days now. Come on.
Yep.
Why don't you have us whipped into shape yet?
Professionals. Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's also useful to have a bank of archetypes in your mind. And a lot of children's cartoons rely on very familiar character archetypes that you see all the time in literature, but they give them, you know, foibles and accents and...
Funny names
and things like that you can just kind of keep in the back of your head. And if you're... PCs have to deal with some self-important official. I mean, you don't have to call in Colonel Spigot from Thembria, but...
But yeah. Why wouldn't you?
But you can totally have him use the same personality and have the same outrageous accent.
Yes. And you'll have to have Crystal come and do it at your table. No, but like, you know, just some examples that I've used. At one point had an item that was like an intelligent item that would be turned on and off with a magic word. And I didn't let the players, they couldn't make their spellcraft check to know what it was. So I made it a curse word. And so it was like Gizmo Duck's armor in DuckTales and Darkwing Duck, because he, that's how he like became Gizmo Duck, is some yes. blather and blather Skype. It was the curse word that he and his Scottish mother used to say, and he just happened to say it when the armor was nearby. And I thought, that's great. It propels the story forward. It puts someone in a weird situation and lets them play with fun tools that they normally couldn't. And no one ever forgot this random past, you know, like the fact that I remember the phrase blather and blather Skype yeah. means that they did something right, because no one I know other than Gizmo Duck said that.
And that's
my grandmother actually used to say blather Skype.
Oh, really? So, maybe that's a real...
It is a real word. Blather Skype is a real word that means nonsense. Well, it means bullshit, basically, but...
Record accurate. So you're going to be on the internet saying that word, Crystal.
Oh no, the internet has never heard that word.
You must protect.
You must have different parental filters on your internet.
That's sort of the thing, right, about watching cartoons when you were a kid and what you remember as an adult. Like, I don't remember every plot of every Gargoyles episode or every
what?
Plot.
Have you not rewatched it?
I have actually rewatched of it recently. But I don't remember all the details of every little thing that I watched when I was a little kid at the babysitter's house before school. But I remember the stuff that stuck with me. And if we're talking about...
By definition, yes.
And if we're talking about drawing inspiration from those things that yeah. stick with us from when we were little kids, does anybody here remember Ducky from the Land Before Time?
Yes. Of course. Or should I say,
So minor spoiler, I have an adventure coming out.
Oh, God.
With a quickling that talks just like Ducky. The same style of speaking.
And this monster! It made me develop that!
And as soon as I was like, okay, Chris, I'm gonna do something really dumb. Maybe not dumb, really weird.
And
this
I was like,
my
yep,
idea.
Yep, yep.
And Crystal's like, this is great! So you okayed it, and it's in the book. So little things like that. I mean, the stuff that you remember is the stuff that will make your writing way more interesting.
And it's the stuff your players will remember. I mean, how many times do you find a magic item that's just, it's plus one sword. But if you give that sword something neat, you give it a funny name.
It's a big yellow shield with a chicken on it.
Yeah. Or you make it in the shape of, like, claws so that someone could maybe hold it up to their eyes and ask it, oh, it's called the Sword of Omens? Weird. You know, like, if the sword has a name, people are more likely to hold it in the air and say, by the power of Grayskull? No? Okay. How about this one? Power of Grayskull? You know, like, you know, give your stuff fun names, because that's the stuff people remember. Even if it doesn't necessarily do anything special, calling your sword the Sword of Omens sounds pretty ominous.
Oh, yeah.
And people are going to carry that sword around with them from first level in the chance that the Sword of Omens does something at some point in your campaign. And so people always complain about, like, the golf bag of, you know, they always have whatever. And I think, okay, let them take the encumbrance penalties. That's fine. Bring it on.
When they're haggling with the merchant, they're going to take the sword out and hope something happens.
Give everything a name so no one gets rid of anything.
And spend all their money on bag of holding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not just a bag of holding, though. It's the bag of infinite space. What? It's a special one. We can't get rid of it.
It's
even though it's only type one and we want more room.
It's Clavinger's infinite.
Yeah.
Created by the great, let's go with Rogue Clavinger.
Yeah. the leader of Clavenger Scavengers.
Oh, yeah.
It comes in handy to have a bag of holding, you know, yeah, when you're looting things.
It still smells a bit like burnt harmonicas. It's a very unique scent.
But you can't get the same timber from one that hasn't been thrown in a fire.
Right.
Anyway.
You realize we have to put Clavenger Scavengers in something now, right?
No.
That one is free. You can all use that.
We're declaring it open game content for you.
Yes. Yes.
And only the people in this room.
It's not product identity. No.
Yeah. Don't tell Owen, there'll be a PDF of it next week.
I actually submitted.
Yes, you want to talk about cartoon characters. Owen K.C. Stevens is amazing.
As a cartoon character?
Yes, as a cartoon character. He's probably my favorite animated character who works at Paizo.
More than Cosmo?
More than Cosmo.
Yeah, no, Cosmo's definitely not a kid's cartoon.
Yeah. Cosmo really went downhill fast in the fifth season.
Yeah, yeah. No,
he's more cool world. Or...
Yeah, they made him take his clown makeup off, and it's just not as funny anymore.
No,
it's
kind of
sad.
Once you realize the big red nose wasn't makeup...
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true.
Oh, what was that movie?
Yeah. So, yeah, let's take some questions. I don't know what questions people are going to have.
Why not?
Right here?
Yeah, there we go.
So, lately, in the past few years, there have been a lot of cartoons that have a lot of layers and talk about things metaphorically, deep subjects like romance or like actual relationships.
You're talking about Steven Universe, aren't you?
Yes. Like that. Yes. Yeah. Things. And so, how do you feel about putting those kinds of things in gaming, those kinds of metaphors and all that?
That was great.
Yeah, I think they're great. That is ultimately the kind of, I'm not going to say mature storytelling, but the more complex, long-term storytelling that we all kind of aspire to in our games. And I think it's a great reference. I think it's a great way to really get to... not just thinking about your games, but thinking about your writing and your creative energy in general as something you can use to explore identity or share a concept with other people or even with children that they might not understand off the bat.
Yeah, I mean, and if you look at like the number of Star Trek episodes, for example, that are really like social commentary. I mean, the one with Frank Gorshin and I can't remember what their names are, Beale and something else, but they have, like, one has black on the left side of his face and the other has white on the left side of his face. And so people get them confused at first until they realize that the left half black people are subjugating the white half black people or whatever.
Oh my God, it was an allegory for race!
Yes! Yeah! You know, that's perhaps a little bit on the nose, but, you know, there's... sci-fi especially, you know, really uses those metaphors to examine our society in a way that is maybe less threatening to people who would otherwise be like, I don't want to read a story about race relations. But if you make it that, you know, hey, these orcs just want to be left alone, like they just want the same opportunities as the not-orcs, then you're addressing that in something that allows the players to play a role fixing wrongs that maybe they would love to in real life but aren't empowered to.
Yeah, it's like hiding a vitamin in ice cream.
Is that why Sarah Marie brought ice cream for the office? So we don't get sick at Paizo Pop? Is that what it was?
No, that was the worming medicine.
There was an episode of Ghostbusters where Irma was like, I can't take pills, so I have to put them in ice cream. And then they had this whole cement truck full of ice cream.
No, it was an episode of Ninja Turtles where she gets shot with an enlarging ray that was supposed to be used on the shredder.
And the only way to stabilize
it is... like this giant pill they make, but she won't eat it, so they end up putting it in ice cream, like a cement truck full of ice cream.
Wow! See,
the
cartoons
thing in that series.
Well, and a lot of the cartoons they dealt with, some of them are pretty horrific.
Oh, yeah.
Like the original first or second seasons of Scooby-Doo. some of those were really scary. I remember as
until they take the mask off.
I
and
know.
You find
it's
out
all
it's just some old white guy who's trying to make money. Yeah. And that's when the real horror begins.
Remember, Gargamel wanted to eat first.
He didn't want to eat first.
But don't we all? They look very yummy.
Yeah, ironically, raspberry flavor.
Yes. Your professional opinions on this, what were the secrets of Castle Grayskull? Because I have a theory.
The secrets were, like, how to, if we say that there are secrets, kids will watch next episode as well.
Okay. Yeah, I honestly don't know how much thought went into that.
So, okay, because my theory is there are the 11 herbs and spices.
It's something that an entire kingdom would organize to protect, so I'm saying sex tapes.
Oh no, Skeletor. And Misa. Oh, you're visualizing.
Oh, why must I have a visual orient or visually oriented imagination?
I'm glad it's not Ram-Man.
It's not okay.
Or Ram-Man.
Or Fisto.
Us is making us inappropriate for the internet.
He-Man did it 30 years ago! It's fine!
Let's be honest.
Look how I turned out! It's clearly not damaging people!
You want to brush your hair before you...
What's wrong with my hair?
It looks like you wear a cap, like, to work every day.
I do. They make you not wear a hat.
Aww.
That's my villain flaw.
You have to wear a hat to be empowered.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, other questions?
Cool.
Yeah.
So, one thing about cartoons is they frequently had small casts of toys you could buy who all survived. You know, but you were joking earlier, you know, why doesn't He-Man ever kill Skeletor? Why, you know?
Because then they'd have to stop selling Skeletor toys.
Right, we fight with swords for a bit, you knock my sword away and throw me in a muddy lake. My PCs never seem to want to do that.
That's what Dimension Door is for.
Like, how do you keep all these people alive?
A lot of it is genre conventions. I mean, that's what we're used to in D&D. A lot of it is just, that's kind of how the rules are built. There aren't... We punish you for using non-lethal attacks 9 times out of 10.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to hit somebody with the flat of your blade to knock them out, it's a -4 penalty. If you want to just... punch somebody when they're...
They get
you know,
to punch you first.
Yeah, they get to punch you first. I mean, it's... If you want to encourage more of the non-lethal options, consider rewarding them when, like, the villain survives or is brought in alive.
Give them story rewards on top of the XP that they get for defeating the encounter. Because even if you don't kill an encounter, if you don't run away from the fight, you get experience.
Yeah, and consider...
More XP for redemption.
Yeah, and make sure...
Like My Little Pony.
Yeah, make sure you don't penalize them for XP if the villain escapes.
Yeah.
And maybe tweak the rules for your home game where you're not applying penalties for non-lethal combat, or you...
Look at all these caves of the mountebank! Everyone has one this season.
Yeah, I mean, Skeletor...
And you don't have to worry about the players getting them, because they always get away.
Yeah, or Shredder would just get to a module and...
Yeah, and burrow away, yeah. Give your villain a burrow speed.
Yeah. PCs hate that.
Just to add on to that, another thing you can do is design the encounters to encourage them. Like, if you put, like, a whirlpool in the middle of it, they'll want to kick the villain into that whirlpool, so, like, stuff like that, you can kind of... push them into, like, giving non-lethal solutions to stuff.
Yeah, and you can always just have the villain, like, oh, I rolled a 1 behind my screen!
Yeah.
Villain slips and falls into the whirlpool as he's about to stab you in the back!
Yeah, you can do all sorts of just little handy
Disney
things.
Princess style.
Yeah. You know, you can have some sort of interruption come when the PCs are about to, you know, level the killing blow against the bad guy, and then, you know, something happens and the cliff starts crumbling and they've got to run away, and then they've never seen the villain die, so the villain might come back.
The villain falls down, Rockenbach falls.
Yeah.
I guess so, in Beauty and the Beast.
To be fair, I mean, there also needs to be a certain level of buy-in from your players, and if your players are the kind who want to murder everything, then...
First of all, lock your doors when you sleep.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're going to feel cheated if they feel like you keep taking that away from them in the same way that if every time you watched a football game on TV, someone switched the channel like as the pass was going into the end zone. So that
I don't think sports metaphors are going to work very well with this crowd.
Okay.
Throw stars.
If you're watching people play a magic duel and stop when everyone's at two life.
I hate that.
Yes.
You stop when when one player taps all the mana on or in front of them.
Right.
And
they pull out the one card and they go like that, and then you don't get to see what
you change
coming.
The channel. Because
yeah, exactly.
They totally tell.
Yeah, I mean, if your players want that type of game where they murder everything, you know, part of that is the challenge of, you know, present a moral quandary in which the villain that they're faced with has obligations that maybe aren't so bad. You know, if it's an evil orphanage caretaker who, you know, is being very nice to the children and providing them a place to live, and no one else in town is willing to do it, and the kids will starve, but is also, like, stealing very valuable magic items. Like, sure, the players may want to kill that guy because he tried to steal from them. But if they do, then all these kids are suddenly now their responsibility.
I believe you called that loot.
I hope they have a big bag of holding because there are now 12 children who will be following them around.
What you're saying is I got 3 followers?
Yes.
They can go.
Go run down that hallway. Tell me if there's any. Oh, yes. Okay. All right. You go run and see if there's another one.
Or necromantic supplies.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
This guy. Yeah.
I thought you said evil orphanage for a second. I was just
evil orphanage. Yeah, chock full of evil orphans. It's like toddlers with twisty mustaches.
Suck it, Ernie.
I think I do remember a cartoon with an evil orphanage.
Probably. I mean, the series of unfortunate events by Lemony Snicket has a bunch of evil orphanages. Like, that's the whole idea, you know. Anyway, you know, so I think that it's about telling a story where the players are both mechanically, as Crystal suggested, but also just narratively, given the incentive to not kill things. I mean,
part of it is making sure everybody's on the same note. I mean, if you say, look, I'd like to do something with a recurring cast of characters, so like low mortality and the things you can kill are hovering robots and sand monsters and animated statues and skeletons, and like living opponents you probably don't stab as much. You know, make sure players know that up front. And one thing I like to do is make sure everybody watches the same, like a couple of episodes of series that I'm building the game around. I do that more with superhero shows just because there's, like, if you say we're playing Pathfinder, then people more or less know what you're talking about. We kick in the door, we stab things, we take their loot. If you say superheroes, it's like, do we need
Justice
League?
Are we talking Watchmen or are we talking, you know, Sky High?
Yeah. I like both of those.
I'm saying no judgment, but they're very different movies.
It's like Watchmen.
Or Mystery Men versus, you know, Zack Snyder, Superman.
So, yeah, do we want to just cycle through, like, great villains you can steal for your home game?
We do not condone stealing.
Okay, great homages you can paint to your favorite cartoon villains.
Well, when you put it that way.
Do you have any other questions before we
gummy bears.
Do that?
Or just list cartoons, because maybe people have suggestions for cartoons they're inspired by that others in the audience may not have heard of.
Yes.
If they're on Netflix, all the better.
Yeah, question.
So, I was just curious, if at any point in time, have you just been sitting down and super excited about writing this concept that you've come up with, and you're like, this is going to be like the greatest thing ever, I'm super excited about this, go home, turn on the television, and it happens to be, you know, like, it's one of those things where you're like, man, I inadvertently just robbed something I thought of before.
Oh, well, That's called an homage.
Yeah, I mean, I won't claim to not do that. I mean, yeah. I do that all the time. I do it on purpose.
Yeah.
You know,
don't make
and I think that for us, what we're publishing, we have has to be legally defensible. It's a different situation, but as a GM, no one's going to sue you for telling the exact same story with the exact same characters. You know, you could have a character called Gargamel who wants to eat a bunch of little gnomes.
Just
a you know?
Yeah.
Go for it, you know? And, like, if your players recognize that this is from Smurfs, then okay, whatever.
Wait, are you saying in Pathfinder we can boil gnomes in lots of three to turn into gnomes?
If you want your GM to like you, you will boil every gnome.
All right, Paizo Publishing, not condone the boiling of any humanoid race.
Except gnomes, who are really just Fae pretending to be humanoids.
And, I'll let you tell that to John Compton.
Anyway,
John knows.
Never, as a creator, never fall into the trap of thinking everything you write has to be completely never done before. Yeah. Because
there's nothing that's new.
Yeah, I mean, Greek philosophers figured out we'd told all the major story archetypes 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago. At this point, you're basically changing up the nuances of major plots that have been told and retold as long as we've been walking upright.
I mean, it's all the flavors have been discovered. It's just what you combine into your sundae. Ice cream.
Okay.
So that we get our pills.
Oh, right.
So what cartoons have made all of you better GMs?
Yeah. I actually watched an episode of Rescue Rangers recently that is literally the movie The Thing. Like, one of them is replaced by an alien and is wandering around and there's all kinds of, like, subterfuge and it's trying to just pretend that it's ship.
But they know that it's not really Monterey Jack because he doesn't want to eat all the cheese.
No, it was Dale.
It was Dale. That's right. Yeah.
All right, bigger nerds than I am. Okay.
Yes?
I think Disney movies, because they have such archetypical characters, especially in the villains, they really help me come up with villains just to do something who's not really complex at all. They're just an ass.
Scar.
Scar.
Has a single goal. And that goal ruins everything.
Man, we should all be gay lions.
Atlantis is a great event.
Oh, yeah.
Gay lions Voltron. Sorry.
Voltron. Yeah, that's gay lions.
I want that on a t-shirt. Voltron is gay lions.
You mentioned Pirates of Dark Water. That is great long-term.
Yeah, I think that's the reason that I like that one, is because it only ran for one season, but it was setting up a very long story. And another one that was out around the same time that a lot of people at Paizo look down on because it's blasphemous, but the Conan animated series was so much fun because
people don't like
all
Conan
of his sidekicks,
the picture.
Yeah, all of his sidekicks were like a classic fantasy trope. He had the Viking, he had the, you know, jungle super racist animal summoner, and, you know,
he had the girl.
The girl who was also an acrobat.
And she wore pink.
She wore pink and she was
everyone
nimble.
Was the girl, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The boobs didn't give it away.
Thundar.
Yeah, Thundar, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I think
the Herculoids.
Yes. I mean, our Numeria in Galarian is basically just Thundar. I mean, when the original concepting was happening of what country should we have, Barbarians with Lasers was one of them, and it was like, that's Thundar.
Totally
the Clone Wars cartoon.
Especially later seasons.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, I challenge anyone to watch much of that show and not want to run a Star Wars game.
It's fair. By that same extension, Rebels. If you haven't seen it,
oh my God.
And you like Star Wars.
There's also the
even if you don't, if you're a shopper, that's another that you can genre swap very easily.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's like, you can take Rebels and have that, like, you could take any of those episodes and put them into a Hell's Rebels campaign.
Oh, easily.
Yeah. Because it's the same story. It's people fighting against an evil empire. And
but there's There's men in space, though.
Spacemen, yes.
Yes.
And space women.
What? And there's not.
We don't have to limit it to
just. Yes, there are. They just happen to be on Eox and Acton and Castor Bell.
You're so much cooler than me.
Again, there's a new ringtone. Oh my god.
So I know these are modern, and I'm such a millennial, but Adventure Time and Steve Universe helped me a lot. Not just in characters and plot lines, but it shows me basically how varied a story can be. It can be very lighthearted and funny at times, but it can also be really dark and full of feels.
Yeah.
All at the same time.
You didn't even have emotions. Even in Steven Universe.
Even in the same moment.
Yeah.
You could be like, that was funny.
And it's true. I mean, the same way that players remember things if you give them a name, if you give them the feels, they'll remember it as well. Yeah. And a lot of players don't want the feels. They want the murders. And so when you make them actually care about something that's completely made up, they feel very vulnerable, and then you've got them.
That's what the murderer sees all the time.
And then you mention how hard it is to make rent this month. It's real hard, you guys.
You sure like Valoros, don't you? Mm-hmm. No one likes Valoros.
I would run for you, but I don't have a home next month.
There was those Star Wars cartoons from the late 80s.
Droids.
Droids and Ewoks.
Surprisingly good, indeed.
And Ewoks had a long-term story to it, if I remember.
The first season did. The second season was very episodic. But, yeah. Which they were fighting for most of the first season?
The Witch of Endor?
Yeah, there was a Witch on Endor.
Yeah, she was in the movie, too. The one who could turn into the crow, she had the magic ring. Was it the same lady? In the Battle for Endor?
I haven't seen the Battle for Endor.
What? Wes specifically ran a... May he rest in peace. specifically had an Ewoks movie marathon.
I must not have been invited.
It was a few years ago. It may have been in one of the interims when you were in a different department or something. I don't know.
Probably. I have been in...
In any case, we watched both of them back to back. Those are good inspiration. The second one, because it's like they're fighting the swords in a castle, so it's basically a...
Don't they fight a giant? And a giant spider?
No, that's the first one. That is the one that has been rebranded the Caravan of Courage, which was originally just the Ewok movie that George Lucas narrates the beginning of.
You've schooled me, Mark.
Yeah.
His head's
and the Toad Wars.
No, there was no Toad Wars in Ewoks.
I think we had a question back there.
Oh, I was just saying, so taking some of the ideas from cartoons and instead of using them exactly, just sort of tweaking them or altering them is something that I've enjoyed because then your players will inspect it even less. So, for example, from He-Man, there was this sort of ooze in the first series that just expanded out and tried to eat the entire world palace. So I took that and made it into a poison that's ingested that just sort of eats you from the inside out. And one of my players spent hours looking through all the books trying to find where that was. So I thought that was a good moment.
We're being kicked out, so let's all go watch some cartoons!
Yes, go watch cartoons! Watch My Little Pony for some genuinely terrifying villains.
Yes.
The
G-Y.
Old
My
Little
Pony.
G1. Yes, G1 is a man. That's dumb. Oh, that's not dumb.
Thank you for joining us for another edition of the No Direction Podcast PaizoCon 2017 seminar coverage, made possible with the help of Justin Sluder and Ryan Hiller of Geek Dad. To find more great Pathfinder audio, go to No Direction Podcast.